habits. We all have them. Whether it is something as simple as having to be in the shower by 6:30 in the morning if I'm going to be on time for work, or something as odd as I tend to put my left shoe on before my right shoe. Habits can be good for our well-being, negative for our well-being, or just plain neutral. How do you start a habit? First, you must identify a need or a want in your life. Perhaps you're someone who wants to become healthier, so you may decide to begin meal prepping or having a workout schedule. You can't just say, "I'm going to eat better and work out more," and expect changes to happen. You have to be intentional about those changes. In one of my favorite books, Atomic Habits by James Clear, it says that we need to be intentional. We need to make sure that we point out what we want to do when we want to do it. I will work out at 5 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the gym. It says what we are doing, when we are doing it, where we are doing it. He also says that we can stack habits. After going to the grocery store on Saturday, I will chop all the vegetables for the week. Cues can aid us in helping to remember to do a habit. When the commercial on my favorite TV show starts, I will do 10 sit-ups. The environment we create for the habits is helpful for keeping them as well. I'm not going to tend to work out in my bedroom because the environment is for sleep and relaxation. I'm not going to chop up vegetables on my couch because that's where I veg out myself. Habits aren't just things we do. They shape who we are, who we become. Our goal as Christians is to become Christ-like. The word Christian literally means little Christ. In the church, we are encouraged to develop spiritual habits, disciplines, to help us to achieve becoming more and more like Christ. Disciplines of the church include prayer, reading the Bible, fasting, confession, rest and silence, celebrating, serving, tithing, forgiving. We also, as RJ pointed out last week, have traditions that help us to remember who we are: baptism, communion, fellowship, the reciting of the creeds. Perhaps you're in a Bible study or discipleship band. These are great ways to help one another grow into who we are meant to be, the church. Back to the basics. RJ has talked about how he has a vision of getting back to our roots, to what the church is supposed to look like, and working on the struggles that we face from the inside out. I've been thinking a lot over this past summer about getting back to the basics of the Christian faith. Have we truly been practicing the daily habits and the disciplines that we are called to have? I've not been myself lately. I've been constantly tired but unable to sleep. I have not been reading my Bible and praying as I ought to. I've been withholding forgiveness. Maybe some of these things ring true for you. Perhaps these words this morning are more for me than they are for you. Perhaps you already have the disciplines, the habits that are helping to mold you. Are you living them? Can others see them in you? The best way to learn something, I have found, is to teach it. If you're going to teach somebody to do something, you must first learn it yourself. Lessons are better learned by not saying, "Do as I say, not what I do." Most people will decide that if you can do it, if you can do X instead of Y, why can't they? Teach our children, new to the faith Christians, and all those around us by doing what we say. This year, youth group is a little bit different. We're going back to the basics, and each of us is taking a turn doing the lessons. We have several students that know that they do not have a faith background at home. And we have several students that are grounded in their faith. I would even go as far as saying that they probably know more about the Bible than I do. Our goal is to bring them in the middle of that ground, the middle that RJ spoke about. What are the core doctrines? So we started with questions of who is God? Why are humans here? And the last lesson we had, Jesse taught, what is sin? Just as RJ taught last week, the different generations of the church, children, young adults, older adults, are called to teach and share with one another. Our youth kids are teaching and learning from each other. We ask questions for the youth to answer. Some answer biblically with biblical answers, and some with everyday answers. For example, I had asked the question of what names we had heard God called, and I suggested thinking of some of the songs we've heard. Now, I had one child answer, Old MacDonald. Now, I could have chastised this child or embarrassed him, but knowing that he does not have a biblical background, God knew that a different approach needed to be taken. The thoughts of how Adam had a farm, so to speak, in the Garden of Eden, and Jesus is called our shepherd, those are ways to redirect a seemingly wrong answer to help them learn the correct ones. Our job as teachers is to bring these kids together into the basic foundation of being a Christian. Today I would like to read from Deuteronomy 4. Now I realize that RJ just preached on this last Sunday, but I want you to trust that there is more than one, more than two, possibly more than three sermons just in this small text. But before we dive into that, let's look around at what was going on at that time. Moses had just been told that he and all who were 20 years old and up, excluding Caleb and Joshua, would not be able to join the rest of Israel in the promised land across the Jordan. They're not allowed to go across because of the sins that Israel has committed during the time in the wilderness. Therefore, I believe Moses wants to make sure that the people understand what they need to do and the laws that they need to keep, since he won't be there to remind them. Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 10 says, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I commanded you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God taught me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set up before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. Habits and disciplines, they both take commitment. God is calling us to a commitment through the words of Moses. I would like to break down this passage. Listen to the statutes and rules that I am teaching you and do them. Luckily for us, the listening part is easy. All we need to do is read and meditate upon and listen to other Christians that have been studying for a long time. The Bible is a one-stop shop for all the statutes and rules. You've heard the saying that everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten. Well, I'm telling you, this is the book that God has given to learn everything that we need to know. Is it easy to understand? Not always. It takes reading and rereading, thinking upon it, talking to others in our lives about what they hear and understand from it, listening for the Holy Spirit's utterance of how to apply it to our lives. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it. There's many other books out there. There's many other scholars. There's songs and hymns written with inspiration from the Bible. There's even New Age trends that we've learned about with hints of Christian influence. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that what we are reading, what we are hearing, what we are doing in our lives is truly from the Word of God. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. We find this story in Numbers 25. While Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. These invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the chiefs of the people and hang them in the sun before the Lord, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." And Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you kill those of his men who have yoked themselves to Baal of Peor." And behold, one of the people of Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his family. In the sight of Moses and in the sight of the whole congregation of the people of Israel, while they were weeping in the entrance of the tent of meeting, when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron and priest, saw it, he rose and left the congregation and took a spear in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the chamber and pierced both of them, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. Thus the plague of the people of Israel was stopped. Nevertheless, those who died by the plague were 24,000. So we can see by that story that keeping the Lord's commands and following only has a steep price for disobeying. Moses wants to make sure Israel remembers this when they're faced with coming into contact with the other gods in the Promised Land. Keep the commandments and do them, that they will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Keeping the commandments is the harder part of being the church, the people of Christ. Paul himself writes in Romans 7:15, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." We can know what we should be doing, but the hard part is actually doing what we should. We may know that we should be kind to our enemies, but when they're right in front of us, it is easier to tell them what we really think of them or say mean words towards them. However, if we strive to do what we are commanded, the people around us, our community, will see the difference in our wisdom and the understanding compared to the rest of the world. There was an old song that stated, "They will know we are Christians by our love." People will see that we are different than those around us. Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Diligently is defined as with conscientious and persistent effort to attention. Our soul is not just automatically in perfect order after accepting God into your life. It takes conscious and persistent effort to do what is right. Christ calls us to take up our cross daily. Being a Christian is not an easy life, a free ticket to do what we want just because we have the promise of heaven and forgiveness. It's a path that's often contrary to our culture of what our world is saying we should do. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." We are called to meditate on God's word and statutes day and night. Just to be clear, that means all the time. If we're introduced to someone at a social function, we're taught that saying their name at least three times in the congregation, in the conversation, while looking at their face, will increase the chances of us remembering them. When we're introduced to Christ's statutes in the Bible, we should repeat it the same way to increase our chances of remembering how we are to act, who God is, and what it means to be Christ-like. A habit or discipline isn't formed or perfected in an hour, a day, or sometimes even years. Every moment has to be a starting point, a new beginning. If I mess up and don't do what I ought today, I need to reconcile and start fresh. If you don't do the dishes today, you don't just decide you're never going to do the dishes again. You go ahead, and tomorrow, you're going to wash your dishes. It needs to be the same way with reading Christ's word. Philippians 4:8-9 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Practice these things. Make these things a habit. If we have things in our lives that are not just, pure, lovely, or commendable, maybe we should swap them out for the things that we can learn, receive, hear, and see in Christ and in the disciples' actions. How do we know what these things are? We read about them. We hear others talking about them. We see them in our fellow Christians. The people around you should be able to see that you are a Christian, that there's something different about the way you act and the way you treat others, the way you live. There are many disciplines and rules that we should be living. Learning them and following them will not be an overnight success. If you have never practiced any of the disciplines before, you will want to pick one or two to start with. I would suggest maybe a couple that are complementary, such as reading and rest or praying, and silence or meditating. If you are a lifelong Christian and feel that you have a grasp on most of the disciplines, I would suggest going deeper with the disciplines. When you are reading your Bible, are you looking for other areas of the Bible that talk about the same thing? Once you confess your sins to God or to others, are you doing your best and asking for God's help to avoid continuing that sin in your life? How about this? Are you willing to take a newer Christian under your wing and disciple them and teach them the ways of Christ? Psalms 81, verse 11 through 16 says, "But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you." God isn't just talking to the Israelites when he wants them to walk in his ways. He's speaking to us today. We could have the finest of the wheat and the sweetest of the honey if we would just obey his statutes and rules. I believe that one way to keep the disciplines is to make them a habit in your life. Not just an item on your to-do list, but truly a part of you and a way of living. In the beginning, they will seem more like a chore or just one more thing for you to do. But I promise you that if you keep practicing them, you will start living your life differently on the outside to the point that people will start to notice. You may not even notice the change in yourself, but you will become one with Christ. Should you need help on how to practice these, you can ask someone who already practices them. You can ask Pastor RJ or Myron for guidance. I would also recommend books by Richard Foster, and I apologize, most of mine are the virtual kind, so I can't hold them up, but Richard Foster wrote The Celebration of Discipline, which I know Pastor has brought up before. Spiritual disciplines, this one's called Prayer, Humility, and Simplicity. He can help you go deeper into the disciplines and habits of Christianity. Earlier this morning, I confess to you that I have not been sleeping. I have not been reading and praying as I should. I have not been forgiving others. I'm going to commit these first steps to you today. I'm going to seek rest in God's arms. I'm going to read my Bible and pray daily. And I will forgive those that I have been withholding forgiveness towards. Now, how will I make sure to form these habits, these disciplines into my life? I can be intentional. I will read my Bible and rest in God's arms at 7:45 each morning on my porch. I can stack these current habits I have. While I am brushing my teeth, I will search my heart for anyone that I need to forgive. I can use cues. I will pray every time I glance at my clock throughout the day. I can set the environment. My Bible will be right beside my favorite chair, and my coffee pot will have coffee ready for me to grab a cup and sit down with the Father in the morning. So far in his series, RJ has asked us to make a commitment. A commitment to